This is Theoretical Thrills, the podcast where three hosts pitch original theoretical rides and attractions based on things they don't own. A special guest judge awards bronze, silver, or gold based on three separate categories: most creative, most practical, and guest's favorite. Whoever has the least amount of points at the end of the season must drive to Disneyland, touch the first gate, and drive home. With bragging rights on the line, the hosts will try to pick each other's ideas apart through gentle ribbing. So sit back, relax, and stand clear of the moving doors as we present Theoretical Thrills.
Theoretical Thrills, the theory of the thrill.
In 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Theoretical Thrills. I'm your host, Oliver.
I'm Brent.
And I'm Spencer.
And we're joined by our guest today. You know him, you love him. It's a friend of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Zach Timpson. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I had a lot of fun last time I was on the show, and I'm excited to be back for another one.
For those of you who haven't heard that exact cast, we did
PBS Land
is the one where I got robbed.
Yeah, Brad is still salty that I didn't choose his for a lot, and I'm sorry, Brad. I really am.
It's the one where Curious George the Experience became a very interesting concept.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so sorry. I forgot about my wonderful victory. It's almost like I wanted to hear about it again when
I also got a point that week. Just wanted to throw that out there.
You did, because yours was for practicality. Yeah.
I know.
And remind me, what was the ride for you? For
the practicality? Mr. Rogers Land of Make-Believe monorail AR train thing.
Right.
Yeah, it was...
And Brad, did you win any points that week?
No. I had two legit rides.
He was offered a point. And
he was offered down.
I didn't want a pity point.
He just didn't take it. It was a pity point, Brad.
I don't take pity points.
It was not
like
a pity
bitter
point.
Betty.
So you cannot
don't take pity points.
I think, Brad, you had convinced Zach to give you a point, and then you decided that he was giving
a pity point
when you actually convinced him to give you the point because of your well-out pitch.
You know what? I'm going to have a clean sweep this week, so it doesn't matter.
You might be confused about what we're talking about here. Every week, the way this show works is we're going to be pitching theoretical ride ideas centered around a concept. At the end of this, our guest will end up judging them and giving an award, awarding a prize or title for three categories. And those categories are, Spencer?
The categories are practicality, creativity, and overall favorite, which is the one that tickles our guest's funny bone the most in whatever way, shape, or form.
And that's going to be our system. But before we get into that, Zach, full on show and tell style, you mentioned last time that you had a really cool item theme park wise that you wanted to talk about. What tell me about it.
I didn't have it with me. I actually have a couple of things with me. I'll try to do this quickly. I just got this in the mail because, you know, Splash Mountain is being changed to Princess and the Frog, but it's one of my favorite attractions. So I got this before it got too expensive. It's a 30th anniversary shirt. So no. To have this forever before they inevitably change it. I'm wearing actually a magic band from the parks in Florida. My brother got me this candle for my birthday. It's a candle that smells like Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's so, the chemical that is in the water.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But the coolest thing is that I didn't even know I had this, but my dad was telling me that we had this because my grandma, before she passed, huge Disney fan. And this is an original light bulb from the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Oh, wow.
That's such a cool display, too.
I know, right? They apparently were, like, selling these, and my grandma got it for, like, $5 or $10, and now they're going for, like, $80, $100. So the fact that, like, I have this, I mean, I'm not selling it anytime soon because it's pretty cool to just have lying around.
Yeah, no, just so tiny. The light bulb is so tiny.
No, I was baffled by that, too.
How many light bulbs they use in the Main Street Electrical Parade, because there's a lot of lights in that. Main Street.
It's like, well, what's interesting about the Main Street Light Parade is the fact that it really was the first of its kind to add a nighttime parade element. It wasn't just closing down the park. Like, yes, you can trace it back to Chinese and Japanese street parades, but for the most part, the idea of incorporating electrical engineering and that sort of stuff into a formalized night parade was so big. And that's, I guess, what makes it so special. That said, that song is an earwig. And it will never leave my head.
Well, you know what's funny about
parade?
What's funny about that song is that it's called a Baroque Hoedown, and it's written by this guy. I'm going to totally butcher his name, but it's like Jean-Jacques Perry. And he didn't know that Disney was using his song. They didn't ask him. And then he went to Disneyland in like the 70s and saw the Main Street Electrical Parade and went, wait, what the hell? That's my song. They just straight up didn't ask him.
I remember they have that song, like the original Main Street Electrical Parade, like parade song on one of the classic, the Disney, greatest Disney classics, like the green, the blue, the red, like cassette tapes when they had cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was like in the middle of this one part that I thought it was like all these like slow songs and all these scary songs. And I would listen to it to go to bed. And it was like Nightmare Before Christmas, followed by the creepy, like Winnie the Pooh song, like the rain came down. And then like into that one. And so I was like, I can't listen to this. So I would always like stop it when it got to that part and put in another tape. So I never really listened to it, but also it's very weird to be listening to music and then hearing the Main Street Electrical Parade, 'cause it's so different.
You know what? You know what scared me listening to as a child that I had to make my brother turn off was the Jurassic Park soundtrack.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
We shared a room and he would play it and stuff. And I'm like, okay, you gotta. He's younger than me. I was like, you gotta turn it off.
Dude, and the worst part is, you lived inside of a forested room. So, like, all you would see is the brush. And you're like, this isn't. I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah, yeah. I was hunted nightly.
Well, gentlemen, I think it's about time that we get into it for this week's pitches. I am elated to get to say that this week's pitch is musicals / Broadway. I am a diehard musical theater nerd, and as per everyone who's here today. And what this is going to be might just be the most niche of this series. We are going to be going for deep cut musical theater references, things of that accord. As well as the idea that we miss theater, so we might be dumping a little bit into this to make it a little bit more exciting. So let's see what we come up with. Zach, are you ready?
I mean, I chose this topic, so I'm born ready. Let's do this.
Fantastic. Spencer, as per usual, take us away.
Great. So I have, obviously, a PowerPoint, so I'm going to share that. So
it's just the word musicals.
There was so many ideas that I had. Like, I was like, oh, I could do a Something Rotten, like Catapult Ride, or, you know, a lot of things. But I settled in, this first concept is one ride, but it's two ideas based on how family friendly we would make this park or this attraction. So the first thing I have is Spooky Mormon Hell Dream, the ride, referencing the Book of Mormon, and it's pretty much what it sounds. It's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride meets a Tunnel of Love is what this ride is. So basically it's if you take like Cat in the Hat, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and a Tunnel of Love without the water, that's what you get. It's this dark ride, it's a tilt-a-whirl, it's this fun element, and you're literally living in a spooky Mormon hell dream from the Book of Mormon. So there's like devils, there's tap dancing, musical numbers, the Mormons are coming, you know, all this stuff. But there's
there. Yeah.
House pop-up things, it spins around, things pop out, you're in mirrors, you like that. I'm picturing the scene in Mr. Toad where you go to the train and you like narrowly hit the train and then you're in hell, which is not a very family friendly thing as far as Disney's concerned, but that was the whole reason why it's such a fun ride. But having those moments kind of mirrored into this, but on the Book of Mormon theme. Now, if we're talking about Book of Mormon being not appropriate for this park, if we're making it more family-friendly, then I'm taking the theme and turning it into Mr. Magical Mistopheles' Magical Mover.
I hate you.
It's a Cats dark ride, you know. And it's more themed to the movie than the musical, because the movie is just a very interesting experience. But it's just a bunch of dancing cats. Like, you basically are in the car, Tunnel of Love, dark ride, tilt-a-whirl. It's just basically a cat's layover as opposed to a Book of Mormon. The idea that I also had was maybe making this the main ride and then doing Book of Mormon as a layover for Halloween kind of idea.
I'm sold on that.
What I love about this cat's retheme is it's Taylor Swift's magical catnip from the movie shrinks you down to cat size. And you're in like Peter Pan's flight kind of flying boat car things and going over the town like you would see in Peter Pan's flight. You enter through these magical cat doors that says you will believe. and you're literally going to the Heaviside layer. Let's be real. It's just, you're going to heaven. spoiler alert. That's what Cats is about. Choosing a cat to go to heaven. Enter through the Heaviside.
Yeah. Layer. Yeah. Okay.
You fly over. So that's like the first ride is specifically Spooky Mormon Hell Dream. But if it's too not family friendly, then the Cat's Magical, Mr. Mistopheles' Magical Mover, the ride.
I like the Halloween layover though.
Yeah. I think that it's the same idea. It's just painted with a Halloween element that could run.
Frankly, it's either that or the ride is regular theme to the 80s version of Cats. And then for Halloween, they've updated to the new one.
Exactly. Well, it's
terrifying.
Yeah. But it also reminds me of a little bit of, I know Oliver's familiar with it, but the Hard Rock Park, the trip ride, the Knights in White Satin, where it's just like very, like, who knows what's happening in that ride, but it's just a spectacle that you kind of have to see to believe.
It's just a ride. It's a literal ride.
And I think that that's kind of what this is. But if it's a layover, then there would be no overhead kind of flying thing. Or Spooky Mormon Hell Dream could be the overhead. But it's a dark ride, tilt-a-whirl, fun theme there. I wasn't sure if this would go over well, so I also created Anything Goes the Ride, which was a thing I thought of this morning.
Did you put a link to a review for Anything Goes?
No, that's the link for the image, because I already had put the document somewhere else, so I just put the
image. Because he needs to cite his sources in order for the book report to count.
So, he's
in that format.
This is a boat ride, similar to the Liberty Bell. What is that ride? The boat at Disney, the Liberty.
Mark Twain.
Like Mark Twain Riverboat or the big boat that's like 12 minutes long.
Splash Mountain.
No, not Splash Mountain.
Sailing Ship Columbia?
Sailing Ship Columbia. Thank you. So it's the one in Liberty Square. That's what I was thinking of. Sailing Ship Columbia. But what you do is it's kind of like you're on a dinner cruise, except it's much shorter and there's no dinner. So it's like a 5-minute ride of
basically. Oh, cruise.
Right. It's a 5-minute cruise. Anything goes. And it is the opening number, the olden days, a glimpse of Stocking, you know, that's the right song. Anything goes, but it's done. You're in a boat. So it's got it's a fully immersive boat ride mixed with AR and live performance. So what happens is it's kind of like Sailing Ship Columbia meets Finding Nemo, Submarine Voyage or 20,000 Leagues, where you kind of see this AR where you're like seeing the ocean and all this stuff and all this fun stuff, but you're actually getting a live performance from tap dancers inside the deck where you are seated to watch them perform while you're on this 5-minute cruise through the water. And maybe it goes underwater, maybe it doesn't. I'm not quite sure what I want to do with AR because I thought of it this morning, but that's anything.
Hold on. This is a five-minute cruise. This is a 5-minute cruise. All right.
To a 7-minute song.
Okay, well, then it's 7 minutes. I don't know how long the song is.
And the fact that you're making this a live performance, you're making your dancers dance. All right. Everybody off. So, let's go dancing.
This was my last minute idea, so it hasn't been fully fleshed out.
Or do you have one set? Like do a ride and then the next set does the next ride. Like there's like three sets. That way they have some time to breathe.
Sure.
There's still not a lot. Yeah.
Well,
so here's the thing, gentlemen. I'm the first person to tear Spencer's ideas asunder, but there's actually something with this ride that he could do that's really fun, which is the idea. Yeah, you do three of the same boat that are rotating the river. You make the cruise itself the one opening number. And basically what happens is people are seated in Anything Goes, and the show's performed on the keel and the stern and all around you and that sort of thing. But you can actually add AR sets by using waves as choreography that are all digitally done.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
See,
but it is not 5 minutes.
that's sure. My problem. Well, that's my problem. It's the 5-minute.
But here's the thing. Sailing Ship Columbia is a 12-minute ride from start to finish, so this could be a 10-minute ride. People want to sit down.
Hold on. The Columbia ship, do they do a dance and singing number?
But this is why it's an immersive. This is taking things to the next level.
And that's how long? 12 minutes? So 12 minutes.
It's the Ed DeBevics of meals.
So they could also just do more numbers from the show. I was just thinking the big opening tap number is fun.
You're doing the opposite of what I want you to do.
There's also AR stuff, so people have stuff that they can explore while they're in the boat. Anyway, so this was an idea that I came up with. But my other original idea was my secondary attraction, which became bigger than I anticipated, which is why I threw this in there, because it's more of just a land itself, End of the Woods Immersive Land. So what comes with this is, I mean, you see Little Red, you see Cinderella, you see all these different characters that would be in this End of the Woods, but it's similar to my Enchanted Forest idea, but on a much larger scale. So
yeah, it's kind of like you took Candyland and made it into an interactive.
Right. Thing. So this whole land itself is, I almost hearken it to Fantasyland, but with a little bit of a darker twist, because obviously End of the Woods is, Act 1 is like Fantasyland, but Act 2 is not so much. So this takes a lot of the elements more or less of Act 1, but there's also, I'll explain. So there's the Enchanted Forest element for kids. So it's like the Act 1 of Into the Woods. And then there's like this Act 2 section that's more of a haunted forest for adults. So it makes everything a little bit darker and deeper. Like Cinderella, you know, whatever. Like the sisters cutting off their toes to fit into the shoe, like the original story and things like that. There's house visits. You can visit Cinderella's house, Red's house, similar to like when you could meet Mickey and Minnie at their houses, or the fairy tale characters, Ariel's Grotto, all those kind of things. Immersive elements inside the houses. So there's going to be musical numbers. You can dine with the wolf. You can clean with Cinderella, whatever, you know, all these different things you can do inside. You can bake cookies with Little Red Riding Hood, or, you know, whatever. Oh, bake bread with the baker and his wife is what I wrote. You can see if Cinderella's shoe fits. You can try on the glass slipper, even though it's not going to be real glass, but obviously something that fits there. But there's all these elements.
Are you going to have part guests take their shoes off?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Into something that several other part guests have put their feet in?
What are you talking about?
So there were ultimate things I thought about with this. One is it's a paid-for attraction where you pay for a pair of shoes that you can like try on after you
buy them. That won't fit?
Well, no, that you choose your size. Like if you're like a size 10, you're like, I want a size 10, and then you can try on the shoe after
you buy it. Well, then you'll know it fits.
Or it's one of those things where it's like a giant, like, big old clown shoe, and you don't take your shoes off, you just step into it, but it's like more of a photo op kind
of thing. I'm getting sort of like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique vibes from this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Experience. Okay. Yeah.
I could get behind this if we weren't making, like, it's instead of it being interactive, it's more set piece based. So seeing the beanstalk, seeing those things as photo ops, make the bread, the baker and the baker's wife shop actually a full build out bread boutique. The only problem is that the second you have flour, then you have kids with gluten allergies that are just, they're flour all over your park.
Yeah. So, yeah. More of like, yeah, less interactive and more. Ooh, look at that.
Yeah. It's not so much like with baking the bread with baker and his wife as in you're like sitting there baking. It's like the Mission Tortilla Factory from California Adventure, when that used to exist, where you like kind of go through and saw how the bread was made, like, and then you could
sourdough,
see there's like interactive in elements with the baker and the wife as they're like, they like, hi, welcome to the show. Like, oh, it takes two, but you know, singing or whatever. Yeah, like
they have the bread factory still at Pacific Wharf in California.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I went, they were like, it's closed forever. And I was like, okay.
What? It's the originals in San Francisco.
But
no, every time I go to a California Adventure, I get, you know, the free piece of bread that they give. Like,
yeah, it's still a thing.
Yeah, and then you walk through.
I think it's because it's like a self-guided tour now as opposed to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Through. You just kind of like go in there. But I forgot that because they don't have it on the map anymore. So you don't actually know it exists unless you...
Oh, okay.
Like they don't have
it. Through the window.
But... Yeah, so those are my ideas.
It's not that interactive. It's just kind of like a walkthrough.
So I mean, it's similar to like the one you can do in San Francisco.
Sure.
You walk and you look through the window and you watch people work.
Yeah, a store.
No. A factory.
Yeah. No. Right. Sure. So
we got to watch the baker and his wife slave away with machines making.
Well, okay. So it's also based on, I don't know if anyone ever watched the TV show On the Lot. It's a reality series where filmmakers would create short films every week and America would vote for their favorite shorts, and the director won a contract with Steven Spielberg. There is one short film that inspired one of my films in film school, but also was just like one of my favorite short films I've ever seen, called Doe the Musical. And it literally was just about a guy and a girl singing about wanting to fall in love. And like the one guy's like, I love my my bakery, and then she walks in and they fall in love and yada yada blah. But it's a 2.5 minute music video short film, but they're just like making bread in the shop. And so I almost pictured it kind of like that, where it's like you come in, they're singing It Takes Two. Oh, you want to try? Who wants to try my bread? Oh, it's good to see everyone here in the land of us. I don't know, but that's the idea. Is it's interactive in the sense of like you're able to actually interact with the characters, as opposed to being like a premeditated thing that they just read off, or it's like an animatronic that's like, welcome to the bakery, but or like the house, I guess, because they didn't really have a bakery, they just kind of baked from their house. But anyway, they're going to change obviously some things, but I think Disney actually owns the rights to Into the Woods, so it actually could, or at least as far as the movie, so they could in theory place this into a fantasy land and kind of do a retheme in some areas if they wanted to. Those are my ideas. Are Spooky Mormon Hell Dream / Mr. Mistopheles Magical Mover, the Anything Goes immersive boat AR ride with live tap dancers, and the Into the Woods land.
Gotcha. Okay. I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of non-union performers working at your, because there's no way you're getting a performer's contract.
He's employing most of Comedy Sports with
there is no way you're getting a performer's contract.
Yeah, that's
interesting. Thing though is it would be through AGVA, and AGVA's got really interesting rules compared to like Equity or SAC. So in theory, and there's also some performance jobs in parks that are through IATSE. They're not through AGVA. So it really
do you think you'll get a contract where you're going to have performers either singing or dancing the same set every 5 minutes continuously?
Well, you cast multiple people, so you only have like 5 or 6 sets a day that are maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. That's how long a show is.
Wait, I have more questions than I have answers now.
Welcome to Spencer's presentation.
Brad is just trying to tear me down. He's just mad that I got a week. <last week.
laughs> All right, so Zach, what are your questions?
Well, I mean, that was more of a humorous remark than anything. But I'm just, so assuming that this ride's 5 minutes.
Which one?
So the Anything Goes ride.
Yeah, Anything Goes, correct.
So.
Ish. I mean,
I'm assuming, are you going to just have one boat going around like Sailing Ship Columbia, or multiple boats like Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage?
I was thinking more
with like their individual tap dancers.
What?
What'd you say? What tap dancer per boat?
Well, yeah, okay. So, I mean, I guess, yeah, I was thinking more of like a Finding Nemo where there's multiple loading. And even with Finding Nemo, I have to think about that because that's very slow to load too, and they've got multiple boats.
You're thinking like space.
You had to think about this period.
Which then raises the question, are you going to have one team of performers per boat? Like if there are 6 boats, you got 6 people, 6 teams doing the performances.
Yes. However, now that I'm thinking about it, Sailing Ship seats a lot more people than a Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, so it might be beneficial to just have one boat.
Okay, let's say we have one boat.
Let's go with one boat.
Are they going to do back-to-back performances, or each go-round are we going to trade out the team with another team of performers?
So my thought is, like any show at the park, if you're in a show, it's about a 20-minute show, and then there's a, you know, it's like a 12:30 show and then a 2 o'clock show. So you've got from 12:50 to like 1:30 is like this break. So my thought is if it's a 5-minute ride, they do 4 sets, which would be 20 minutes, and then they swap out for another cast that does the next 20-minute set. So there's ideally 3 casts, so every hour we ship to 3 different...
I
it doesn't have to be like a 40-person cast like Anything Goes is. It's like 6 people maybe.
Okay,
it's not a 5-minute show.
The 6 people do 4 rides back.
That's one song, not the whole show.
No. What I'm saying is you got load in, load out, and the show. That is not 5 minutes, which means you're keeping your performers on that stage, on that boat, for at least 45 minutes to an hour.
So let's say that it's 3 boats, 4 rotating casts. While the one cast gets off, one cast gets on, you rotate the boats out. That gives you a window of about... each shift would end up being 6 times through. You do it like the way you would do river cruise. You're taking a shift.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. As ridiculous as it is, it's, in my opinion, the thing that has the most potential.
I think what you need to do is commit more to it being a show on a boat. Like a shortened show. So commit to it being, since you can hold more people, make it a 20, 30 minute experience. So if you justifies your performers being on there.
That's a good point. Yeah. Then maybe I just know when I did a 20 minute clue show, everyone was like, that's too long. And
because it was,
but this is a boat. Well, this is a whole like boat.
That's actually a good point.
I have a question about how the show works. It's not your show, but the podcast. Am I making the decisions based on Spencer's original pitch or modifications that he's made after we've given him ideas?
Original.
Okay, gotcha. Because I'm starting to get bored with this 20 to 30 minute show thing, but I'm like, am I making my
No, don't. But
yeah, we're not selling it to you.
We're fixing it.
Well, see, but here's the thing, is now that it's being fixed and the idea is fascinating, you can
Hey, guess what? Let's go to my presentation.
It wasn't completely fleshed out yet. So,
I make the decisions based on the initial pitch, not the fixes.
You can make the decisions based on whatever you want.
ladies and gentlemen, those are Spencer's pitches. Spencer, just give us the bullet points just to list them out for us right now.
So my first pitch was...
no need to pull up a Word document. Just let us know.
Mr. Magical Mistopheles Magical Mover / Book of Mormon's Spooky Mormon Hell Dream Tunnel of Love Dark Ride Tilt-A-Whirl Magical Wonderland Ride. Second option was this Anything Goes the ride, which was very last minute, hastily thrown together, and seems to be very fascinating to everyone. And the 3D Into the Woods immersive play like land area.
All right, it's my turn, right?
What do you got?
All right, I went all in, ladies and gentlemen.
Brad's gonna make a cut.
Adventure Through Broadway, a presentation.
Already more intriguing.
All right, boom. This is how you do a PowerPoint, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go ahead and progress. All right.
Oh boy.
So I'm thinking, first off, this is going to be a land, right? This is going to be a classic New York style land. I want like the old school sort of New York Broadway sort of feel.
Kind of like Hollywood Studios, but New York.
Kind of like Hollywood Studios, Universal lot. But this is the basic outline. We're going to take this and we're going to decorate it now. All right. So anyways, the first thing we're going to do is a Cats the Ride, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thinking a trackless ride a la Mystic Manor or Ratatouille. It's going to be a tour through the city and its life. So it's going to be a ride through the city of New York, the bright lights, and you're going to be going through it. Or should I say?
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say that the ride's in New York, but it's based on cats?
Watch. Listen, you got to wait for my next part here.
Can we see the picture?
Should I say Cats the Stalking? It's a horror ride, ladies and gentlemen. You're being stalked by cats with human faces. You are not shrunk down. The whole premise of the ride is you are just going through New York. It is. So it's going to be advertised as a See the City Lights New York type deal. So New York on Broadway. All right. And so the entire ride is going to be themed as if you're getting to go through New York and see the lights of Times Square and all that and stuff. What you don't realize, or you might, is that throughout the entire trip, there are cats with human faces stalking you. It's going to be sort of like a Where's Waldo of a ride that only people that are really into it are going to know. And once you know and that the cats are there, that's when it's going to start getting creepy because you're going to start noticing them more. That's right. I'm not advertising it as a cat's ride whatsoever. That's why it's taking place in New York. That's why it's designed like it is. Boom. All right. Now to decorate this street.
This is the week Brad snapped.
By the way, Brad, do you have a picture of it or is this the only picture you have?
Of that creepy face?
No, we only see Adventures Through Broadway.
Oh. There's some screen sharing. This is awkward.
Either we see.
Unshare and then reshare.
Say what you will about Spencer's casts. They all seem to work.
Say what you will about...
There we go. Yeah, we see him.
Okay, go. Okay, start.
All right, there. So I guess I can't go full screen. What is? All right, so anyways, Cats the Ride. Great. Here's, should I say, Cats the Stalking. All right? Got it? Good.
What's the name of the ride?
Huh? It's going to be, like, New York Lights or...
Okay, great.
New Broadway. The Lights of Broadway.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, the Lights of Broadway. There's gonna be like posters for like different musicals and stuff like that. They're gonna be like, you'll see like the theaters all lit up and things like that. But there'll be subtle little hints that something's not quite right. And that's right, when you focus even more, creepy cats.
Are they gonna be live cats or like animal like, cats?
Yeah, like in the vein of Great Movie Ride, or are they gonna?
It's gonna be a mix. It's gonna be a mix.
So how
right. That way we get some spontaneity with cats, just sort of people creeping out of it. All right.
I'm automatically really intrigued by this next
one. So let's continue. To decorate the New York street, all right? We're going to decorate the New York street with musicals. First musical up, Little Shop of Horrors. It's obviously the best musical. So we're going to dress it up. It's going to be an actual flower shop. You can go and actually buy little plants and stuff like that.
So you want to build Mushnicks?
Yes. And you'll be able to see Audrey 2, all right? So you get it to be a great photo op. It's going to be wonderful.
Brad, is Audrey 2 going to do like something like in the vein of Donkey at Universal Studios where he like talks to people, or is it just a picture thing?
He only talks to Seymour. He's not going to.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Totally.
Come on.
Okay.
Stick with me here. Stick with me. All right, next up, Sweeney Todd, Barber, and Mrs. Lovett's Pie Shop. That's right. We're going to have a lovely shave shop up above a Lovett's Pie Shop, which is where we're going to be selling, of course, the meat pies, such as one featured here in the original prop here of that style.
All right. And Lou Carew's yelling at you the whole time.
Next up, the Urinetown Restroom Experience. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to have different class restrooms, Urinetown restrooms. Now, you might be thinking, how is this all going to go together?
No, I'm just thinking
casting about the and why I need. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to cast background actors to be the victims at Mushnicks, Sweeney Todd's, and the restrooms. What this means is all locations will be working locations where actors will be randomly taken or killed. That's right. They will go into the Sweeney barbershop. And disappear through a trap door. No one will know about it. They'll just know that they're next in line and the person in front of them never came out. At Mushnicks, we're going to occasionally have Seymour come out and close the store for a moment, but he's going to invite a guest to just sort of stay behind to get a closer look at Audrey. You'll hear some noises, maybe some flashing lights, and see some movement of the Audrey plant, but guess what? When the shop reopens, that person isn't there anymore, and it's gonna be Seymour might be cleaning up a little bit of blood or stuff like that.
I feel like Brad took this whole Broadway idea and was like, "How can I make it horrifying?"
Wait, all right,
can I ask a question here?
And then finally,
scared of musicals.
Urinetown. The whole point of Urinetown is if you can't afford to pay the fee,
correct?
You go to Urinetown, which is you are killed. That's right. We're going to have people unable to afford the fee get taken away and stuff to disappear and never be there. All right. So no one sees the killings. Never reappear. And by casting background actors and having them sign a severe NDA, I would have an endless pool of victims to pull from.
Here's a question.
People are desperate. I was a background actor for a little while. I know these background actors.
But hold on. Severe NDA.
What? Yeah, severe, because we got to sue, because I will sue hard if they spoil the fact that they're not really dying from this.
But okay.
Because that's the whole premise. You got to keep the fear alive, all right?
I have to ask this, because we talked about how it's quite...
You want to ask? Okay, yes, they will have to pay to use the restroom.
Oh my God!
Hold on. I want to ask this, because as someone who has actors on a boat, thinking it's unrealistic to have actors on a boat for 20 minutes... How do you expect actors to be getting randomly taken and killed?
I don't know.
More realistically than actors on a boat.
Here's the thing. You've chosen actual actors. I've chosen background actors.
Okay.
Actual actors.
So all I need...
Actors are people, is my point.
Yeah. So we pay them. We pay them a fee. They come on. Great. I'll pay you a day rate. You get killed. All right, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
So then they never return. So you have to have consistently... Have
that's
to
why it's such so sexual Brad, casting. So Brad, I have a never-ending list of background actors.
Until people realize...
I have to ask here. Is this an only October-based theme park?
Oh, no. I went with the idea of, you know how they're making a... the classic monsters section of
because Little Shop and Cats are classic monsters for sure
at Epic Universe. Well, I took that sort of concept, that idea, and focused on musicals because I'm like, everybody's gonna make all these cheery little musical lands and stuff like that. No, there are a lot of musicals are dark. We could throw in like a little Three Penny Opera part
no,
of it.
No.
A no little Three Penny Opera.
We'll do a love music land.
Man of La Mancha. Man of La Mancha, we put a little bit of Little Bird in there. Little okay, so Bird.
Brad, don't be an impossible theme park.
Brad, are you counting your Little Chick. Shop, Little Shop, yep. Your Town, and Sweeney Todd murder background actors plot as one attraction?
Or it's an experience. It's kind of like if you were to have a random, I don't know, monkey appear around the park to create an environment.
So you threw away your pitch this week to be just bitter about me.
I didn't throw it away. I was actually really happy with this pitch.
For those of you,
I made a PowerPoint.
That's a great show. Urinetown and Little Shop are two of my favorite shows. That's actually.
Yeah.
So
I made a great way to sort of hit on those.
Those are both great shows.
So that's just the Broadway musical horror murder background actors experience. Yeah.
So what happened to Lestat the musical, or Dracula the musical, or Jekyll and Hyde the musical?
I was just
hitting on some of the key things. I could really expand this world.
I wouldn't.
I could make a whole theme park out of this. This is just the land. We could make a theme park. Ladies and gentlemen, people are going to want to do musicals.
But if you
want
to kill people off, about Assassins the Ride or Chicago?
Hold on a minute here. So we have Brad's idea. Zach.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions? Do you need anything clarified?
Everything is... Oh, I guess if you're a background actor, are you allowed to visit the park when you're done with your death shift?
No, like, severe NDA prevents that.
No. You're allowed to visit on a different day. You just can't go blabbing that you were killed a previous day.
Are they allowed to do it multiple times, like as different like actors or different characters?
If throughout the years they their look might change and stuff like that, then yes. But there'd probably be at least a year limit, once per year or so.
Right. Why though? I mean, like...
Run out of people.
We're not going to run out... Do you know how many people Central Casting has on its list?
I think once we figure it out, though... Here's
a question, Brad. Right. How much... I mean, I don't know what background actors' rate of pay is.
Not much.
Okay, so you would be able to afford doing...
I can do day rate for them every single day.
More than people at parks make, though.
So it's an experience. Let's say you got Sweeney Todd, Little Shop, and you're in town. Let's just take Little Shop, for example. How many murders would occur in a given day?
It's random.
It's random. Okay.
Some days there might be multiple. Some days there might be multiple experience. Just like Curious George would be.
It's going to be
a light attendance day. And guess what? I'm not going to have as many people die. But if it's a heavy attendance day, we're probably going to have more people die.
And how do you... So are you just going to have background actors just waiting, like, to see, like, if they're...
you pretty much on weekends. On weekends, you can probably guarantee there's going to be more deaths than on weekdays.
Okay.
Summer months, we'd have to increase the death count.
I'm surprised you didn't do Cats as a monorail AR ride with Mr. Rogers in it.
Okay,
because I like my hidden Cats horror thing. Like,
I kind of love that one. So
Brad, give Zach the bullet point list.
All right, we got Broadway. See the Broadway lights, the ride, aka Cats, the stalking, and then we have Mrs. Lovett's meat pies. A lovely little restaurant to get some great meat pies, which just happens to be above a working barber, below a working barber shop, a working flower shop, and Urinetown restroom experience. That's right, different Urinetown restroom styles costing different amounts.
Spencer, just for the judging at the end, can we just combine all of those into the Broadway murder experience?
Yeah, we could go and we can bracket that.
All right. And so there we go. Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you are welcome. Top that, Oliver.
Sounds like top that. The Broadway murder experience idea a lot.
All I have to do is come up with a ride.
I had a ride.
No, okay. So yeah, gentlemen, sure. Gentlemen, while I appreciate your efforts, and they were fantastic in their own separate but terrifying ways, I went ahead and made a few things real quick. And actually, Brad and I had a little bit of crossover. So
you didn't do cats.
You did the horror?
Crossover.
I said a little bit of crossover in the sense that they're both a theme park, kind of. Here's the way this is going to work.
What?
In a standard land system, you're going to go straight down Easy Street. On Easy Street, there are several different shops along the way, including Mushnick & Sons, which is an interactive flower shop experience. Yes, it's the same idea with the taking a photo moment. However, in the basement, you have an interactive show where the plants sing a song, basically don't feed the plants. So throughout your time in the shop, certain plants might wink or talk to you, sort of an enchanted tiki room, but a build out of not just Audrey, who has a puppeteer and is doing live interaction the same way you would do with Megatron, but you could actually purchase Venus flytraps there. There's small little items that you can take with you and that sort of thing. So we have that. Along that street is also the pie shop from Sweeney Todd. And my idea, we're going to do a full build out of that idea, which is, it is Mrs. Lovett at her most successful. We're talking long tables where people can come in, get a meat pie or a vegan pie, sit down and eat, and we'll have fun little things about missing persons on the wall and that sort of thing, but the ability to pay the best meat pies in London. So this is going to lead to the rides themselves. We can have a few other like little kitschy shops and things like that. Ideally, there are newsies on each corner. So at some point in time, during the day, we have the musical parade. And during that musical parade, the newsies themselves will lead it. We'll go through big showcase numbers that come out through one at a time and actually perform their things. We see a little bit of Prince Ali. We get to see the Music Man as Harold Hill leads this band through the town. The first ride, and this is my e-ticket attraction, is Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Ride.
Yes.
Now I know what you're thinking. The $67 million disaster piece that single-handedly ended Julie Taymor's career.
She also did Across the Universe.
She did that before. She hasn't worked.
And she still did Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark after.
So I digress. So this ride, featuring a lovely score by Bono and The Edge, is a ride that takes the ride mechanic from the Ninjago ride and applies it to a dark ride. Now, the Ninjago ride, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, at Legoland California, uses a brand new kind of system for playing the old skeet shooter mechanic. And that is an AR plate with an infrared sensor. And as you sweep over the sensor, it sends a shuriken into the actual diagram and interactive for points. Now, in this case, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Ride will feature the same style of set pieces that Julie Taymor once designed, because they folded out from each other and were very luminous. And what you're going to do is you're going to throw money at the problem. Instead of it being shurikens, every time you you're going to be throwing money at the various issues that pop up around you. As things go wrong, actors fall. We'll do a mechanic in the same style of Pirates of the Caribbean. But in this case, you're going to be watching this all unfold in front of your eyes. The producer, i.e. the writer, who can fix the show and end up with the least negative score, wins.
The least negative score. I cannot with this ride.
So that is Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. My e-ticket attraction.
I have to say, I would force myself to make the most mistakes so I could purposely get the most negative score.
Oh, absolutely. And you, and throughout the ride, you'll have decisions on whether you should make up a new Spider-Man villain called Swiss Miss, or have inflatable characters instead of regular costumes. This is up to you as you create the disaster piece around you.
This is wild.
Now, the next ride is the Phantom Boat Lagoon.
Yep.
Okay.
Everyone knows the catacombs underneath.
Oh, you're hitting like all of my favorite Broadway like points.
Here. I was a musical theater major for
years.
I was
also thinking Phantom and then figured
to do it. But... Well, hold on a minute here.
My roommate.
Mine takes the twist. Hmm? Mine takes a serious left turn. So as you.
Love never dies.
As you go through the Phantom's Lagoon and the underground catacombs, the Paris Opera House itself, you'll be queuing up in the lobby while people perform masquerade. You'll sit through and you'll go through Christine's Mirror and into the actual catacombs. As you're riding this ride and going through this interactive area, it takes you through the story of the Phantom's love for Christine while doing a Pirates of the Caribbean style boat ride. Until you reach part two. You see the boat docks in triple form, in the same style that no one actually asked for. We're going to pay tribute to Love Never Dies. Now, Love Never Dies, or as I like to call it, Paint Never Dries, is a specific kind of monster. Because in the story of Love Never Dies, and this is not me doing a bit, this is the actual story of the sequel to Phantom.
Yes,
the Phantom... Yeah. Gates with the head ballet instructor and Christine's best friend and goes to Coney Island, where he becomes the head of the Freaks, leading through to this amazingly not needed set piece number where they said, we dropped a chandelier the first time. We should have a full roller coaster on stage. That's not a bit. They built a half roller coaster for the stage show. So you'll transition from the boat ride to the cart that goes wrong. You're going to watch the story you love and know and truly believe in just go just straight downhill. There are no twists. There are no turns. It is just a downhill. Putting you out in front of the Phantom's Theater, asking, why the hell did I do that? So those are my two major rides. Now that brings me to my thrill ride. And that is none other.
These weren't your thrill rides?
Oh, buddy, buckle up. So here's
literally
the thing. Yeah, because what my goal here is to take another one of Andrew Lloyd Webber's monstrosities,
Joseph,
and turn it into something absolutely delightful. And that is the plot to Starlight Express.
Yes.
You will be boarding a thrill-seeking train ride, a five-tracked roller coaster that runs in tandem the same way that the Dueling Dragons did. However, in this case, you will board one of the trains from Starlight Express. Now, for those of you who don't know what Starlight Express is about,
yeah,
it's about a train race.
Hmm? That's it. Pumping iron. There's a song in there.
So there's going to be, you'll be boarding one of the trains from the show, and those actual cars will have moments where they pass over each other, tracks will interweave, you'll see that sort of thrill that you're going to go, and as you cheer, the louder you get, the faster your car can go. So as you're screaming and interacting with this roller coaster, you're cheering it along in the same mechanic as Starlight Express. Now, with those in mind, we arrive to one of my favorite things. And that is because we have Easy Street and because we have that style of New York Street, which is synonymous with Broadway. One of the biggest things that's coming out of Germany and a few other places right now with parades is multiple storied puppets. And if those of you who have been paying attention to the most recent Broadway season might be familiar with none other than King Kong. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the same idea that Universal has used for years, but applying it to the 12 person puppeteered animatronic King Kong. You get to see that character live and experience it as it interacts with guests, takes photos, does a bunch of different motions, and then eventually, what's beautiful about it is because you can suspend it from a moving crane, it can walk in the parade itself. Now, I know what you're thinking. A lot of this is over the top. And why would I even put anything more on top of this? And the answer is, I'm compensating for something. So here's the thing. On a foggy day, or in the right aromatic transitions, or to make a condition that is available using misters, we could theoretically have big, giant, terrible giants in the sky.
Yes.
At random times throughout the show, and these will be set moments in the park, but ideally intervals of every 2 to 3 hours at night once the sun goes down, we'll have misters going off on top of the set pieces and then projecting big, tall, terrible giants in the sky.
So it's Curious George, but Into the Woods themed.
Correct.
Wait, like holograms?
So it's basically the same mechanism that's used for the skull when they updated the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, where it's the mist projector.
Got it.
Yeah, you're just using mist to create a white screen.
Basically.
Okay, sir.
And ideally you're doing this at night, so we have that ability. Now, so wind conditions will affect whether or not that effect works. However, if you install subwoofers underneath the actual floor of Easy Street as random points during the day, as we see the step up above, you can feel it down below. Gentlemen, those are my pitches for Broadway Week.
So let's do a recap for Zach.
Absolutely. Yes. We have the actual lead into the park, which is Easy Street, featuring...
And I'm just saying, I played Rooster twice, so that's...
I love it. And here's the thing. The whole premise shines like the top of the Chrysler Building. So just to review, you're going to go down Easy Street. Easy Street has the shops from Mushnick and Sons with the interactive experience meet and greet with Audrey 2, / Don't Feed the Plants Dinner Feed. So sort of like the Tiki Room experience. That's also going to be next to Mrs. Lovett's Meat Pie Shop, where you can sit down and have an actual lunch. I debated whether to throw in guests on, but it fell over.
So you've named this Easy Street, and you chose to populate it with buildings and
global locations
that would not at all be considered living on Easy Street.
Absolutely.
One's in Skid Row, one is like he's poor and killing people, and then you were going to populate it with newsies.
Who are also poor.
Okay, just making sure we're on Easy Street. So
it's like a Hard Knock Life Street.
Well, but here's the thing. Easy Street, technically, if you look at the meaning of the song, he's talking about it from a perspective of someone who's in the dumps.
Yeah, so it literally starts like it. Like I remember about talking about their mother and how.
Yeah, mother dear, though, we know you're down there listening.
How can we follow your sweet advice?
Yeah. How to get to Easy Street.
One of them's the King of New York.
Yeah, to get to Easy Street.
But he's
talking about Easy Street. Easy Street is not where he's currently living on when he's in the dump.
I'm in the middle of my review, and I can
Sorry.
Tell you named your thing New York Street. I figured I'd put an actual name to it. So then you come up to the Phantom Boat Ride, which is a two-part ride in the same style as Rise of the Resistance, where it is a two-part ride. But again, second half goes straight down. There are no twists. No plot turns. It's just a race to the bad finish on that one.
So Phantom of the Opera, Love Does Die.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love never dies, but certainly the ride does. And then we also have the roller coaster, which is the Starlight Express Races, the only kind of its, to my knowledge, where it has five ride cars that are going amongst this race. So think a little bit of like Hagrid's Adventure, the way you feel that. But you actually have twists and turns that are multiple cars on a timed loop. Again, part of the mechanic of that is that as you cheer on your car, it goes faster.
So it's like a little Monsters, Inc. Laugh Factory.
Or as you're terrified.
Because it is literally...
It gets worse.
There you go. And finally, rounding out that idea, we have the King Kong Experience, the Giants in the Sky, which are both environmental things, and my personal favorite, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark Ride.
Well, since you did 14 ideas, next week I might just do 14 ideas.
I'm sorry, guys. You gave me
the fact that you bashed my horror theme park and then came up with
same thing.
Okay,
like half of yours was the exact same.
I don't envy you. Do you have any questions for me based on my entirely thought through idea?
Oh man. No, I mean, you were pretty thorough. Like, I'm just kind of overwhelmed because I like almost all of these pitches. So this is going to be hard as hell.
I noticed the almost as you said that.
Yeah. do you have any questions about any, like, do you remember all of the ideas or do you need another recap of ideas?
I'm going to need, if you could, like, hold up, like, do a screenshot.
Yours were forgettable, Spencer. If you could repeat what yours were.
I'm sure we could all name at least one without me saying anything.
Anything goes.
That's true.
Why don't we just, Zach, why don't we just, other than Oliver, recap our ideas for you? Because Oliver just listed all of his ideas. So gotcha. For me, I had the End of the Woods immersive land, the Anything Goes boat ride, still in progress, TBD, and the Mr. Magical Mistopheles magical moving ride, whatever it's called, slash spooky Mormon hell dream, the ride.
Which I loved, by the way. I loved that idea.
Thank you.
So I had the Bright Lights of New York ride, which was aka the code name was Cats the Stalking. And then I was also the original designer of My Lovely New York Street with Mushnicks. And then also Mrs. Lovett's Pie Shop.
With the killer.
With actors.
Right, because yours had a barber shop.
Oh, above it, because that's how it is.
That's how he feeds them. That's how he makes the pie.
Both of you have the above barber shop.
I did not. I had no barbershop.
He just did a meat pie shop.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually do Mrs. Lovett's.
So just to clarify, the categories are most practical, most creative, and favorite. And favorite is the one that just tickles your funny bone the most.
Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
So let's start off with practical.
Okay, practicality.
That's the one that I'm struggling the most with. I got it.
Okay.
Most practical, I can't believe I'm saying this, I really like The Lights of Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
I see that.
It's practical.
Because it seems like I can picture it.
Okay. Brad wins on practicality.
Okay. I mean, I guess, yeah, creatively, it's very interesting. I guess.
And again, Zach, we really appreciate you paying attention.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of me, I'm not saying I feel bad for Brad, but I don't know. Brad's pitch is really.
Like, no, that's practical. You could build that ride.
As far as most.
You could. I don't know if anyone would.
Most creative, I really liked Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. That one blew me away. Just
throw money at the problem. That's
because everyone who, you know, loves musical theater knows that show was just a complete train wreck.
And it still ran for years.
Yeah, right? Like right on 42nd Street too. Like right.
Well, keep in mind it got rebooted twice.
Oh my god, yeah. It's
during production.
Musical theater. Did it ever really open? That's the real question.
It had an official opening. It also had two official closings.
Yeah. It was the last time that I think Foxwoods was the actual name of the theater before it changed or whatever. Yeah, Foxwoods.
Yeah. It was Young Frankenstein had to leave that show to go in. And they had, so that theater was like, you built a giant Tesla coil in the middle of our stage. Can't be worse than that, right?
See, for me, it's like no musical theater person would think to develop a ride on Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
You can make more money with a flop than with a hit.
Hey, producers.
All the points. And I love it. Now, for favorite, I'm torn between two because two really stuck out to me and were etched into my memory. One of them was because it means a lot to me personally. And the other was because I was like, what the fuck is this? But I kind of love it. So I feel like I'm not going to be invited back to the show based on.
Oh, no, I can tell you you're not. But go on.
I'm not going to be invited.
No, go on. What were you saying?
Oh, man, I really want to be invited back.
No, of course you'll be invited back.
Okay, but
we'll find out.
The only reason I'm choosing this as my favorite is because it left us going, what the f-?
Don't you dare give us the stocking one.
The stock.
No. I see the point of the stocking one.
It was the stocking one.
No.
That's one. But I have to give it to the Broadway murdering.
So I just want to clarify, that was your favorite idea of all of these pitches today.
If I could pull it on, it'd be amazing.
Here's the thing. You guys need to blame Spencer for this, and here's why. Because my favorite was the Phantom of the Opera ride, but Spencer, the way he phrases it is the one that tickles your funny bone the most. And so based on that, why I chose Curious George last week and why I chose the Broadway murder experience.
Spencer, the look on your face right now of sheer disappointment almost makes up for the fact that we just actively lost.
I'm not more upset that I lost because I think that I had great ideas, but I think there are other ideas. I'm just more concerned about the fact that Brad got 2 points for his ideas. That's what I'm more concerned about.
Game respects game. I'll say this.
So next week, I'm just going to come in with a bunch of crap, and I'm just going to
be working. Hey, I had a PowerPoint.
I had a PowerPoint, too. You had, three slides. Wait. I had 8 slides.
The reason why I tried is because Brad, last week, had really good ideas, but he didn't win. So he was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go all out this week with one really effed up idea. And then he...
Well, I committed. I also did win last week, and I came in with realistic ideas. So, I mean, therefore...
Mine's realistic. Theoretically do both.
That and the Phantom ride, and I, because Phantom has a really special place in my heart. I did in high school. My roommate and I actually, we played Fearman and Andre, so that was
nice. I just
But the, I think Brad's enthusiasm really.
Spencer's amazed right now.
We're like, what the hell is this? And he's like, no, it's gonna work.
It's fascinating to me, this conversation that's happening, because I feel like every week I come in with these really weird ideas and I'm like, I don't know how it's going to work, but this is going to be great. And yet the rewards are for people who take the element of me being like, this is a weird concept. I don't care. I love it. And yet I never get rewarded for it. But people who take that concept and put it to theirs, they get rewarded for it. So it's just this weird juxtaposition of being like, what do I
think? And that, my friends, is exactly what makes this difficult. Zach, do you want to plug anything before we cut out of here?
Plug anything? Sure. I mean, I have a YouTube channel where I upload a lot of comedy sketches and song parodies. So feel free to subscribe to that. It's just my name, Zach Timson. And I don't know if kids are watching this, but if kids are watching this, or you do have kids who like history and sketch comedy, I'm on a historical sketch comedy series on Netflix called The Who Was Show, so feel free to check that out. I think that's it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Feel free to check us out on our social medias, which are shown right now.
And don't forget for your favorite idea as well.
Yes. Feel free to let us know what you thought in the comments on our website at www.theoreticalthrills.com. My name's Oliver.
I'm Brad.
I'm Spencer.
And that's Zach, and this has been Theoretical Thrills.
Did you enjoy the episode you just watched? Feel free to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have an interpretation of an idea based on the theme of the week, feel free to tag us on social media with hashtag Theoretical Thrills, and we may feature your ride and attraction on the show.
Theoretical Thrills, the theory of the thrill.